to Innovation. I'm Kara Hetland, and we're broadcasting from the 4850-foot level of the Sanford Underground Research Facility. And it is that time of year for Neutrino Day, and we have the featured speakers here and performers here with us. And so joining me now is Bruce Knowles. He's the music director of the Black Hills Symphony Orchestra, and Jose Francisco Salgado. And so we're going to talk a little bit about art and music and what that means for Neutrino Day and outer space, right?
Yes.
So welcome to Innovation, and thanks for being here today.
Thank you very much. Really appreciate it.
Great to be here.
So, Jose, let's start with you and just talk a little bit about this project. You have a PhD in astronomy.
Correct.
Yes. But you've gone the artistic route.
That's right. Well, while in grad school at the University of Michigan in Ann Arbor, I got interested in combining science with the graphic arts to communicate science. So, you know, scientific illustrations, website development, etc. And after graduating, I started working at the Adler Planetarium in Chicago, because it has, you know, I had decided that what I wanted to do was science communication, and, you know, bring basically science to, you know, to the masses. So in a planetarium, that's a perfect place to do that. So a couple of years later, after I had been combining science and art, the Chicago Sinfonietta, one of the orchestras in the city, approached me to come up with some kind of visual backdrop for a concert that they were having. They were going to be performing The Planets by Gustav Holst. So needless to say, that is it's a very natural thing to do. We have so many images from the space probes that have visited the planets, from telescopes and so on. But I think that what distinguished the work was that instead of creating just like a slideshow that would project in the background, I made a film that followed very closely the music. Mm-hmm. So the way I describe it is like a soundtrack in reverse, where, you know, instead of the composer writing music to fit the film, I'm making a film to fit the music. Okay, so that way we're bringing science into a non-traditional venue when it comes to science education, which is the concert hall. And then fast forward a couple of years later, after, you know, a few films and the foundation of KV265, the organization that I lead and work for to communicate science, we approached Christopher Theofanidis, one of the best-known composers in the United States, to actually write music for this idea that we had of a children's story called The Legend of the Northern Lights, and then turn that into a musical, you know, stage work, and that's, you know,
and
that's why
we're
here.
And that's what's happening tomorrow at 4 o'clock.
Exactly. Right.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about your process and how you get the visuals for your film.
So in the first a few works, like The Planets, Pictures at an Exhibition by Mussorgsky, I rely a lot on visuals from NASA, and I have to say, when it comes to astronomy, it is so easy to in a certain way to create something like a science documentary or a visual work, because the wealth of material that it's out there is incredible, and kudos to NASA understands very well how important it is to let not only the citizens but the taxpayers, right, who are paying for all these missions, what they are achieving. So they're really good at taking all this material and putting it online for anyone to use. So and of course it also helps that me being an astronomer, then I have ways and connections to get material that perhaps is not readily available. But that was the main source for the first few films. But then I also started combining my own photography, because then we started talking about, you know, showing things that are more natural phenomena or observatories. So of course, observatories, ground-based observatories, are like Hawaii, for example, South Africa, different dark sites. So I have visited those places, and then of course for the Northern Lights, not only in this film do we combine visuals from NASA of the radiation coming from the sun and so on, but then it heavily relies on my photography of the Northern Lights. So for that, I went to Yellowknife in the Northwest Territories of Canada and capture. So what people are going to see is actual time-lapse photography of the lights. It's not, you know, special effects. Not. It's just straight digital photography of this beautiful phenomenon.
And you said it's a children's story.
It's a children's story, yes. So we wanted to, you know, after making different films like Planets, Pictures, and an Exhibition, we wanted to basically cover that age range where we could bring, you know, produce a film more for family programs and for children. And so my colleague in the organization had this beautiful story written for her when she was a child. And then we basically produced a script based on that story, and then work with Chris Theofanidis for him to write the music. And what it's like an opera, but with spoken word.
Okay.
In the way that it's not, you know, and actually I was picturing that maybe he would do something like we would have spoken words, music, spoken words, you know, we would alternate. No, the music is continuous, and basically what he's doing is, of course, like good composers do, he's sustaining the story and basically following very closely what it's being said. So you have this interplay between the narration, the music, and then, of course, the visuals on screen.
Okay, Bruce Knowles, music director with the Black Hills Symphony Orchestra. And so talk a little bit about the audience experience that you're anticipating tomorrow afternoon.
Having been working with the score and the film, coordinating all of that music together, it's certainly a beautiful experience, and it's unique for me as well. We have done a lot of visuals with programs. We've done a Planets program as well with visuals and other visual arts as well, but I've never worked with something so interconnected with the music. It's really exciting as I'm conducting the orchestra along, and you know, those visuals come up, you know, those Northern Lights time lapse little ribbons come out, and just the way the music flows right to that, because it has to be very, very precisely matched. You know, it's not like when I'm directing a regular
concert.
You can't
get a beat off, right?
I can't get too free with interpretation like we sometimes like to, otherwise you're lost then. So you really have to be connected to that visual. And so I think the audience is going to feel that too. It's very special.
And also what we're having tomorrow is kind of is a world premiere.
Yeah.
Because it's originally was scored for orchestra, for a full orchestra. So this was premiere in Millennium Park in Chicago with Grand Park Orchestra in 2014 in front of 32,000 people on two nights. Big concert in the city. So what we've done, because we wanted to bring it to schools, to, you know, smaller communities, we asked Cliff Colnett, a musician and arranger in Chicago, to actually reduce it to a chamber orchestra. And this is not only the first time that we're performing it, but it's the first time that I will listen, you know, today at the rehearsal, this version for a smaller ensemble.
Oh, so it is just a chamber orchestra that you're bringing?
Yep.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the opera house won't fit all of
this.
Right.
So it is at 4:00 at the Opera House in downtown Lead tomorrow afternoon as part of Neutrino Day, and so it's full visual, it lights out, and you just, I mean, talk about what you expect people to.
So the story, it's basically, you know, there are many around the world, there are many stories and mythology about the Northern Lights, and it's interesting that a common thread among the stories is usually like it's the souls of the departed or souls of children playing with a soccer ball in the sky and so on. So what we've done is follow this particular story, that it's a story within a story, because you have a narrator telling this grandchild a story that has been told through generations in their family. And so what we do is, so we want to tell that story as, hey, there are many, many stories around the world, but we know that the science is the following. Okay, so there are those two parts of what we know, but then, of course, a story that it's, of course, involves, you know, fantasy. So what people will see is the origin of the Northern Lights, those particles coming from the sun, how they interact with a magnetic field of the Earth, and then, of course, without spoiling and showing the Northern Lights themselves, we then go into the story, and then, of course, there is a character that it's, of course, involved with, connected to the Northern Lights themselves, and then we go into full glorious, you know, footage of the Northern Lights, and then the Northern Lights that's seen, you know, from space. Because not only we have the view from the ground, but then astronauts see the lights from the International Space Station. Mm-hmm. So people will get to see that view as well.
Wow. How much preparation, Bruce, have you had to do to get ready for this performance?
Well, the orchestra has been rehearsing this week and had three or four rehearsals on it. And so we go through it and piece it together and bring the narrators in and figure out how all that goes together. So it's been quite a great project. It's been a learning curve for us, and some of us had to stretch just a little bit, and that's great. That's what it's about.
That's what makes everybody better, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And what is the length of this continuous piece of music?
Oh, 22.
Yeah, about 22 minutes.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So talk a little bit about some of your other projects that you're working on and how people can connect with you outside of Neutrino Day.
Yes. So if they go to kv265.org and they can learn about our project and upcoming concerts. This year is actually a very particularly busy year for us, which is great. We have about 17 concerts in 2019. And so when I'm not doing that, I'm also giving lectures. So the neat thing about the films is that not only do we use them to communicate science in the concert hall, but in between concerts, I use clips and excerpts from the films to communicate science in lectures. So the films form the basis of everything I do when it comes to teaching people about science. So right now, actually, we're producing a couple of new films. In one, we're collaborating with this composer, John Estacio, from Canada. And he wrote the music for a piece about the most extreme lunar tides on Earth, so which we can see in the Bay of Fundy in Canada, between Nova Scotia and New Brunswick. I mean, we can see the level of the water dropping by 50 feet in 6 hours. It's just incredible. And then I recently went to Mont Saint-Michel in France and did some photography there as well. So now, although my background is astronomy, we're moving into also, you know, earth sciences and things that, it's funny, they always have a cosmic connection. Northern Lights has connection with the sun, and the tides, of course, they have that connection with the moon, but are things that are more earth-based. And for me, it's very satisfying to travel somewhere and capture that on film, so to speak.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you both for taking time and joining us on the program today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.